This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hi everyone. You're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. I'm Asha Amadasri, and welcome back. Today I have two awesome guests with me, Jordan and Penelope. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves? Jordan, you can start first.
Yeah, sure thing. My name is Jordan Wishman, and I am a creative producer here in Dunedin. So I work a lot in live production and theatre, mostly doing backstage stuff, but I also design and direct and on the very rare occasion, may perform.
Amazing. Awesome. And Penelope?
Yeah, hi, I'm Penelope. I'm a third-year student of English and French here in Dunedin, and I do a bit of directing, playwriting, all sorts of creative things on the side. So, yeah.
Awesome. I'm so happy to have you guys on the air with me today. For anyone listening right now, I'm actually here to promote some stuff that's going on in Otago Uni at the moment, specifically in the theatre scene. And today, Jordan and Penelope are actually a part of a project, but I don't really want to take it away from them. So who would like to explain what we're here for?
Yep, sure. I'm happy to do that. So something that the university offers for its performing arts students every year is a extracurricular program called the Lunchtime Theatre Program. So this is where our student actors, designers, technicians, directors, all sorts, have the opportunity to actually put on productions. So we often run a different production almost every single week of the semester. So it's really good professional practice for us, and it also means that we have a safe space to learn and try to create theatre, which is also available for the public. We do public showings on Thursdays and Fridays.
Yes, 100%. And you guys are working on a lunchtime theatre right now, right?
Yes, we are indeed. So we are working on a brand new play. So this play is called Pas de Toi. It is written by Penelope.
It's amazing. Is this, sorry to interrupt, is this your first ever play? Mm-hmm. Or
yeah.
So you're making your debut as a playwright, huh?
I guess you could say that.
Oh my God, exciting.
Very
congratulations.
Exciting. Thank you so much.
Yes, so we're putting on a staging of Pas de Toi. It is in combination with the playwriting class. So that was where Penelope wrote the script. Mm-hmm. It is also in collaboration with our 100-level theatre technology paper. So we have three students who will be learning to operate and stage manage on this project, as well as four students who are in our designing paper. So they will be coming on board and learning the ropes in costume design, lighting design, set design, sound design, so that way they can take these skills forward with them and hopefully establish themselves as practitioners.
Yes, 100%. It's definitely something that everyone sort of gets a hand in. It's all very like student-led and everything. And I'm actually part of the design class.
Yay!
Specifically for this Lunchtime Theatre too, which I'm very excited to do. I'm doing lighting. I'm very, very excited for it, especially for you guys to come and see it. So just off the bat, top of my head right now, I can't remember when the show is, but it's in two-ish weeks' time.
Yes, from the date of recording this today, it's in 2 weeks' time. So we have open shows to the public on Thursday the 28th of August and Friday the 29th of August, both starting at 1 p.m. with doors opening around about 12:45.
Amazing. Awesome. Okay, so Pas de Toi, that is French, I believe?
It is French, yes, and it refers to a ballet sequence of dance. A pas de deux is quite famous for being a dance for a couple. Mm-hmm. Pas de trois is a dance for three female dancers. It's a very complex dance with lots of solos, different variations, light and dark, and that forms the basis of the play, is the pas de trois.
Okay, awesome. Right. So, of course, it's about ballet and things like that. Would you like to provide, like, a summary on, like, what the audience can expect when they come in?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't want to give too much away, but as a general idea, it's set in 1860s France. Ballerinas in 1860s France had very, very low social status, so it meant it was very difficult to survive in the ballet industry. Many of the dancers were extremely poor, and so it created an extremely competitive environment. And pas de trois focuses on three dancers who make up the pas de trois, who are best friends. And when an opportunity to advance in the ballet kind of company presents itself, they have to compete with each other financially, emotionally, physically. Oof. Yeah, and try and preserve their friendship. But, of course, that's so difficult in a world where loyalty and survival are opposites. And which do you choose? Yeah.
Can I just say, you worded that so well.
Thank you so much. I have had to think about it quite a bit. So.
I mean, like, I'm like a part of the team on like working on it, right? So I like obviously know a lot more than anyone who's listening out. But even me listening now, I'm like, whoa, this song.
Thank you.
Yeah. So guys, definitely look forward to it. It's going to be... Yeah, bring tissues as well. I think that's definitely like a safe bet, because it's gonna tear at your heartstrings a little bit, especially if you guys have like close female friendships and stuff like that. But okay, so I wanted to talk about the writing of the play first before I go into the workings of the production.
Awesome.
But so what inspired you to write this? Because I know you studied French as well. What made you decide to incorporate that in your, you know, script writing?
This is kind of random, but over lockdown, a lot of people were sort of dressing up and taking pictures to replicate famous paintings. Mm-hmm. And my little sister, she's a ballet dancer, and she wanted to replicate this painting by Edgar Degas, who painted ballerinas around the time the play is set. And so I helped her with that. And I thought the paintings were really cool, and did some more research and found it so interesting, the stories of the ballerinas and how awful their conditions were. And then when I was writing a play for the playwriting class at university that I took, which I absolutely loved, I think I just stumbled back onto that idea from a few years ago of that how complex that situation was.
Right,
and I always love writing about female friendships, because I don't think we have enough complex female friendships in media and complex female characters in general. So I really wanted to focus on these young women and their struggles and their fears and their desires. So I was really inspired. And then it all came together when I heard about this thing called the pas de trois. And I thought, wow, this is such a great basis to work from. Three characters. It was only meant to be a 30-page play. So that's a nice sort of small scope. And then I was away, and the rest is history.
Amazing. No, that's awesome.
Literal history.
French history.
No, it's just, I like how it just started off as like something just like by the fates, you know, like, oh, my little sister does ballet, you know, saw a painting, and then boom, everything just went off from there.
Yeah.
Now, Jordan, you are directing this play. Have you directed anything before?
Yes. So I made my public directing debut in 2020. So that was during COVID. That was the year that I was in the advanced directing class at Otago, so honours level production directing. And we got put back into a lockdown 2 weeks before my lunchtime theatre was supposed to go on.
Oh, no.
That's horrible.
No, it wasn't back into the level 4, level 3 that we had earlier in the year. I believe it was just like a bump to level 2. But the university hadn't at that point created a policy as to, like, we could still go ahead with classes. We could still be on campus. We just had to somewhat social distance. But they hadn't come up with a policy as to what to do with theatre studies.
Yeah.
So I actually had to do my assessment staging lunchtime theatre with no audience.
No. Oh, no. That's...
And then we had mid-semester break where they made the decision that you could have an audience as long as they social distanced. So all of my classmates got the experience with an audience and the feedback. But it's something that I missed out on.
Oh, God. That's so rough.
Out of pure spite at the situation, I applied for my very first funding grant, was very fortunate to receive it, and then actually restaged that lunchtime theatre in a professional or semi-professional season in November after all of the classes had done.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
So we came back and did another four performances that were actually properly open to the public now that all of that had been done.
Oh, awesome.
So very, very grateful to my cast and my crew for sticking through that process with me. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful bunch of people that worked on Heart's Desire by Carol Churchill. That was the piece.
I'm so happy you got that opportunity, seriously.
Oh, I wasn't going to let anything stop me.
Now that is attitude that I like. That is amazing. So you two are working together on Pas de Toi. How did you come to pair up together? Was it like a random assignment or have you guys been friends?
We actually met through this process.
Yeah, and now we're friends.
Right.
Yeah.
No, because you guys gave me the vibe of like best friends. You guys
are good. Oh, we are now.
So my only awareness of Penelope's existence prior to this process was when I was scrolling through Facebook and it comes up with the people you may know.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, and you kept coming up on my people you may know. And I was like, I recognize that name from Globe, but like, I don't know you as a person.
For sure.
And I'm not the type to send out Facebook friend requests to everybody I know left, right, and center. I'm a little bit more private in terms of social media and online presence and everything.
Fair enough. I respect that.
Yeah, so
I would have been like, who is this person?
Yeah, so we're both very similar in that respect.
Yeah.
But it all started one day. It was either at the end of first semester or just coming into that semester break, but I got an email from Martin Roberts, who is the theatre manager at Allen Hall. He coordinates the lunchtime theatre program and he teaches the tech classes upon many, many other things that that lovely, lovely man does. And I kind of screened the email, swiped down from the top of my phone to screen the email, and the heading was, "You may want to read this."
Oh, okay. Ominous. Ominous.
And I was really like, ominous.
Marty, what have you sent me?
Are you firing me?
But the title of the email had me so intrigued that I didn't even proceed to screen the rest of the message. I just clicked on it and opened it.
Right, yeah.
And he's like, "Here is a play. You might want to read this, or perhaps even consider directing it." And I was like, "Marty, you know that I am on hiatus." So I directed 2020 through the most recent project prior to this was 2022. And then I took a sustained creative break is probably the best way to phrase it. But he's like, "Yeah, I want you to read this and see if this is something that you're interested in working on." I'd never received an email like that prior. And I knew that if he was phrasing it like that and contacting me, that he wouldn't do that unless it was something like he knew for a fact would be a really good fit.
Right.
So I went ahead and read the play and I pretty much instantly fell in love with the storyline. I loved how much depth all of the characters had.
Do you hear that, Penelope?
Yeah, I'm just taking notes here.
Right. Tell me more.
The three girls are, they're so human. They are so human. They've got who they present to the world, but they also have moments to reflect as to who they actually are. And it's really interesting because you perceive these three really strong women on stage, very fierce women, driven women. But then you have these moments when you look at them and you're like, they're just little girls.
Mm.
They honestly are scared little girls who are just doing their best to survive.
Mm.
And that depth is shown in quite different ways across all three characters. And how the story wraps up, how it ends, I also found to be super intriguing and poignant. So I emailed Marty back and I said, when? Do you want me to direct?
When? Where?
How is scheduling going to work? Like, do you have an idea in your mind? Because I don't want to say yes if it's something that I can't actually commit to. So all of those dates came through. I had a talk with my manager at work, looked at the whole thing as a whole, and I was like, yeah, I think that this is something I can manage around my job mm-hmm. and fit everything in. It's not a super, super large scale work. It's just a little half hour play. Yeah. And I was more than happy to step in and direct the show. So from there, I emailed back and said, yep, I'm interested in doing this. And then from there, Marty put me in touch with Penelope and we set up a meeting to kind of discuss vision. Mm. And it became very clear, very quick that we were on pretty much the exact same page.
Yeah, I've never had an experience like when I met with Jordan for the first time and I was discussing her vision for the play with me. And I'm not an experienced director like Jordan at all. So I didn't have specific ideas for staging or anything like that. But the ideas that Jordan was giving me, I think I said to you, how did you know that that was what I wanted without me even knowing that that was what I wanted? It was just
incredible. I'm pretty
incredible.
Sure that's exactly amazing. What you said.
Yeah, it was incredible. I came out of that conversation feeling so excited and galvanized. Yeah, it's been awesome.
And yeah, that conversation for me really sealed the deal. I was like, cool, like this is a playwright who actively sees where I'm coming from right. and is willing to entrust me with their work.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's safe to say you guys work really well together, huh?
That's great.
That's great to hear. But I'm glad you brought up the characters of Pas de Trois because, like you say, I agree, the characters are so, so rich and they're very dynamic, especially with how they interact with each other. And I wanted to ask Penelope specifically, like, did you have any specific inspirations from, like, people or media, like, characters for these three?
That's a really good question. I think not so much people or media. What really inspired the three girls, women, were ballet styles, styles of dance. I think that was how I really, that and their names, those were the things that really brought them to life for me. For ballet styles, there are three different girls and they all dance differently. And that was how I saw them, how they moved through the play differently as well. One of them is very technically skilled. She's very precise and exacting, and that's how she moves through conversations as well. She kind of takes no prisoners. Another one is extremely strong and dynamic, and she kind of she moves through the play with a kind of explosive energy. And then the final character is more graceful on the stage, and she's more graceful in her interactions as well. That and their names all mean something as well. So I think that kind of helped to crystallize right. that for me. Yeah.
There is a very slight reference in one of the scenes to an actual dancer in Dunedin, though. So big shout out to Tobias Devereaux.
Yeah, Tobias.
For getting a little hint mentioned in there.
Yeah, my best friend Tobias is a ballet dancer and one of the characters, Colette. She is the only character in the whole play who has a last name because she receives a letter. And so her full name is Nicolette Devereux, and that's a little homage to Tobias. Oh, so Tobias, if you're so listening, nice. Shout out to you.
Shout out Tobias. Come on the podcast next time with Penelope. Oh, no, but that's awesome. Thank you so much for telling me about that. Now, these three characters, because they're so strong, we obviously had to find, like, good, like, not good, but, like, I meant actors who would be able to do it justice, right? Mm-hmm. So we've all been in the rehearsal room together before with the actors and everything. How is the space, like, in the rehearsal room? Like, is it fun? Is it, like, a little bit more serious or, like, goofy? Like, what's the vibe?
Put it this way. We were rehearsing one of the scenes for the first time, and in the two-hour rehearsal, we spent about half an hour with actors rolling on the floor laughing till they cried.
I can attest to that, yep.
Yeah. The play itself, in terms of context and story, is quite dark. It is not the ending that you'd necessarily expect out of it. So one of the things that I try to do as a director, because we are dealing with heavier topics, there are scenes that allude to sexual assault. It's important for me as a director to have a rehearsal room where everybody is comfortable and feeling safe. So whenever we bring someone new into the rehearsal room, it's just making sure that everyone is aware of their function. Mm-hmm. So that way it's not like we have strangers in the room with us. And it's also just trying not to be too hard or too serious and let things develop a little bit more naturally, because that way it gives everybody more of a sense of autonomy and control, and knowing that if at any point we need to stop, that it is perfectly fine to communicate that we will stop, there will be no questions asked. We've just been trying to have a lot of fun with it. Mm. And I think it's definitely helped that our three actresses have become very quick friends in this process.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They all seem to be, because of the trajectory of the play, I mean, like, we all become, like, quite emotional at the end. But I think it's especially strong for the actresses who have embodied these characters so well.
Yeah, for sure.
It's so fun in there. I mean, I'm just there, like, overseeing it. But, like, I can't help but, like, feel like I'm a part of the joy, you know. It's great. So you guys should definitely watch it, guys. I don't know.
one of the big things that we do every single rehearsal to help sustain that joy and keep our performers feeling safe, we have a very specific set of rituals that we perform at the beginning of rehearsal and end of rehearsal. So every single rehearsal starts with myself as director, the actors, and whoever else in the room wants to join. One of our actors' fiancés came in, he joined. but we hold baby ballet class. Yes. And by this, I mean we get YouTube tutorials up on a device and we each learn a new ballet step at the beginning of every single rehearsal using our little chairs as bars. And
it's delightful, honestly.
Yeah. I got like a leg cramp, but it was amazing.
Yeah, none of us are doing it super seriously, but it's
like,
just a way
to... Failure is part of the fun.
Oh,
right?
Hands down with this.
For sure.
It's about... Well, it's good for us because it informs us as creatives as to the stylistic elements of the play, but it also just makes it all a little bit fun.
That's great.
So that's our like beginning ritual, and then the end ritual is we all come together and we have a quick discussion as a group about three main things. So the questions I will ask the room are, tell me something that you've learned from this rehearsal, and we'll go round. We then go round and each leave something behind in the room, whether it's the grief we experienced as actors, or if we've been working on heavier scenes, we actively choose to leave those heavier scenes in the room. Just anything else that we want to not carry into the world with us, we make sure we say out loud in the room, leave it in the room. And then we cap that off with one positive thing that we want to take away with us from the room. Which is really, really cute because the past few rehearsals, all three girls at once have just screamed friendship and then run off.
Oh, yeah, no, it's amazing. All right, thank you for that, Jordan. I actually have a final question for Penelope. When it came to, bringing this vision to life with the help of Jordan and everyone, what was the most surprising thing that you've learned from this process?
Well, I think... For me, Jordan is the one and only bringing this vision to life. There's been no sort of, and I mean this in like, I'm very happy about this. I haven't had to have any pressure on me in terms of sort of bringing the play onto the stage, because it's a play that, although I wrote it, I could never direct it. It was just too hard.
No, fair enough.
I'm so glad for Jordan taking the wheel completely, although I've enjoyed coming to the rehearsals and seeing things. What's really surprised me as a playwright is how differently people can interpret and how much depth actors and directors can find from the words that I've written that I didn't even know was there. Interpretations and things will come up in rehearsals and people will say things, I think this character's feeling this, or I think this character's motivation is this. And I will think to myself, that's not what I had thought, but actually that feels right. There was a continuity error as well, a really bad one that the cast spotted, which was really embarrassing for me, but it's really good as
a learning experience.
And it was something that was so easily fixable as well. Like, we just make a tweak in dialogue, and I can guarantee that you'll come along to the play and you won't be able to spot the error.
No.
Like, it's
no,
seamless.
It's gone. It's gone now.
Yeah, it's gone.
But yeah, definitely that feeling of feeling so comfortable with the actors and Jordan as well. them understanding the play so much that even where things kind of evolve and change in ways that I didn't expect, it all feels very patois, like it's all very much within that general vision that I had when I wrote it, which is so lovely because I love to see it kind of, these characters start to stand and walk and they're not just words on a page anymore, which I didn't necessarily expect to feel that way about it, but it's been, yeah, it's just been such a beautiful process to be a part of.
That's amazing to hear. Oh my God. All right, we're running out of time, but thank you so much, both of you, for coming on to the show and promoting it. Do you have any final words? Or could you actually reiterate the dates and the times?
Oh, 100%. So, Partitois by Penelope here, directed by Jordan Wishman. This will be on at Allen Hall Theatre on August 28th and 29th. That's a Thursday and a Friday at 1 p.m. Tickets are $5 unwaged, $10 waged. And if you wish to pre-book online, you can find the tickets at humanitix.com/NZ.
Awesome. Oh, my God. Thank you. It sounded like you
That was like the Jet 2 holiday.
Yeah. That was a solid infomercial.
Maybe I'm going to leave my career and just become an infomercial lady.
You should.
No, quit your day job, Jordan.
We need you too much as a director.
Okay? Yeah, we do.
No, you can't.
And bring tissues. Bring tissues,
yeah,
everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yes, bring tissues. It's going to be one heck of a ride. And I'll be there with you guys. Okay, don't worry. I'll hold your hand, each and every one of you.
I'm gonna need someone, yeah.
I won't be seeing you guys after the break. I'll be bringing in another Lunchtime Theatre director and playwright. So you guys look forward to that. But do you guys want to promote your own socials or any causes you believe in or anything like that before we go? Any last words?
I just fully want to promote the Lunchtime Theatre program. I mean, the performing arts is definitely in a little bit more of a struggle at the moment with the way that the economy's gone and just everything else that's happening in New Zealand at the moment, without getting too political. So by coming and seeing Lunchtime Theatre, you're not only supporting the performing arts, but you are supporting the next generation of artists. And this is a really big thing for all of us as a program, even though I'm technically no longer part of that program. I graduated some time ago now, but
no one has to know.
No one has to know. It's really, really important to show up for what you believe in. And if you believe in arts and culture being any level of importance to society, I would definitely recommend coming and seeing Lunchtime Theatre if and when you can. Our advanced directing students also have evening shows. So if you're a daytime worker, we do have Thursday 7 p.m. performances at some points throughout the semester. It's just a great cause to get behind, and it supports both the arts and our young people in Dunedin.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you, Jordan.
Yeah, and I fully second that. Get involved in Dunedin Community Theatre as well. There's a really great scene if you start lifting up rocks and investigating. But also, if you're a student and you're listening and you're interested in English, in theatre, in media of any kind, I would highly, highly recommend you take a playwriting paper. It just changes the way in which you look at all sorts of media. It's really important to learn how to tell stories effectively in this kind of modern world. So, I would definitely 100% recommend it. It's hard work, I won't lie, but it was the most rewarding paper I've ever taken.
I'm taking the paper now.
Oh, you are, yeah.
Yeah, it's so fun.
It is. I know exactly how you feel.
It's
genuinely
so fun. Yeah. It's just, yeah, you're right. It makes you think a lot, and it's a lot of work, but so worth it.
Yeah, so for sure. Do that.
Okay, awesome. Again, thank you so much, guys. And I'll see you guys after the break. And welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed that song break. I have yet to decide what we'll have on the break, but that's fine. I hope you guys enjoyed. Jordan and Penelope had to go away, but I have two other guests and another Lunchtime Theatre that I wanted to promote on the air. So I have two lovely, beautiful people in front of me right now. Would one of you like to introduce yourselves first?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Eli, and I'm here to introduce the Lunchtime Theatre Adeline's Cottage, which I've been a director on.
Hi, I'm Alex, and I'm the writer for Adeline's Cottage.
Nice, awesome. Have you ever written anything before?
Not before this, no. This was the first first play that I ever wrote, and it was really just as part of an assignment, really just an experiment to see what I could write.
Right.
Yeah. And, that's what I ended up with.
This is also your, I guess, playwright debut.
Yeah.
Because Penelope is also having her debut. So this is awesome. Okay. Yeah. And what about you, Eli? Is this your first time directing or have you done something else?
I've done some little bits here and there. So if you're familiar with Shot Glass Shorts, I directed a short piece, came second in that last year. It was really cool.
Hell yeah.
But those pieces are only like 5 to 7 minutes long. And so this is my first time directing a full one act.
Awesome. And how's that experience been? Because Short Glass Shorts, how many minutes is that? 7 minutes?
5 to 7.
5 to 7, yeah. And this one's going to be like around half an hour.
Yeah, so. It's sitting at around 32 minutes right now.
Exactly.
In the process, yeah. Yes. It is such a different process, especially because with Shot Glass Shorts, it's got that emphasis on comedy. It's got that quick, snappy nature to it. So everything has to be very fast. And this project has given me a lot more time to like slow down and really get into the characters, which I've loved.
Well, yeah, no, fair enough. Alex, would you like to tell us about what Adeline's Cottage is about?
It's about grief. It's also about regret and I guess learning from your mistakes. It's got a little bit of a magical realism twist to it, or flavour, I suppose. But it just sort of emerged from like a couple of writing experiments, and it just developed from there. So I didn't really know what it was about until I'd finished writing it. So
fair enough. No, that is a mood. I've done like some writing stuff myself. No, just a little bit. Not in a scale such as this. But sometimes you just write, and then the characters and the plot, like it has a mind of its own.
Yeah.
And then it just comes to life, and you're like, huh. I guess that's where we're going with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you say that, Eli, that directing is sort of like kind of a similar aspect? Like when you read the play, did you have a vision in mind already, or have you been discovering it as you go?
That's a fun story, I think, because also I read a very different version of it when I decided to direct this.
Oh.
So there was the original version that came out of that playwriting class that I sort of fell in love with because it was very similar to the themes of my own one. But when we decided that we wanted it for Lunchtime Theatre, that became a workshopping process to change and adapt all of these things that we'd learnt during the playwriting process to enhance it. I guess the themes are what I fell in love with, and then getting to add to it was a really special experience because I don't think most directors get that chance to have that dialogue with a playwright and expand on something that already exists.
Right, that's awesome. So you've had quite, like, I was going to say claws. So you've had your claws, like, quite deep into this as well, huh?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, how did you guys sort of get along with, I guess, creative vision? Did you guys have, like, the same vision straight away, or...?
Well, Eli reached out to me and said that they wanted to direct Adeline's Cottage, the show that I'd written, and I was kind of blown away. And I just said, look, if here's the version as it is, but if you want me to change anything, just let me know. And then we had a couple more conversations from there, and, yeah, a lot of things changed from the original draft. It just went through, like, a very heavy editing process, and it was a little bit more long-winded than we were expecting. Delayed Eli by quite a bit.
No, I mean, fair enough. I mean, like, what is it that they say in writing class? Kill your darlings?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly.
So I guess it's probably really hard to rewrite when you've already had, like, something set in stone before, but then, you know, after revisions, it doesn't work. But, you know, it's all the better for it, hopefully.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Would you say this is a better version or...?
Oh, the characters have so much more life in them. Because we could just see these little bits of them that we wanted to make bigger and better, and now they really, really come to life. And I have three amazing actors, which bring it to life.
I was actually just going to ask, what sort of cast is this? Like, is it a big cast, small cast? How's rehearsals like?
Yeah, it's a very small cast. We have three people. So there's the main character, Henry. There's Adeline, who is the sister of Henry. And a weird old guy called Brian, who sort of pops in. And it is really fun dynamic. It's interesting because there's never more than two people on stage. So even though there are three people, there are two characters that never meet on stage.
Oh,
and so
okay,
that's
interesting.
Quite interesting to play
right.
with.
So how did it feel like delving into these character psyches and relationships and how that would translate on the stage?
I think it was just so interesting because they brought something that, I mean, Alex also came to a rehearsal so he can speak on what he thinks, but they'd brought something that I hadn't ever heard when reading the script to it, which was really cool. Yeah. Just the little ways they say lines differently to how you read it. Mm. And it kind of reminds you theatre is such a collaborative process.
Right, yeah. But that just reminds me, actually, I didn't ask when Adeline Scottish was going to be. I was going to be like, yeah, show up, guys. Show up to the show.
So when people are hearing this, I believe it'll be the week that you're hearing this, Thursday, Friday, 1 p.m. at Allen Hall. So that is the 21st and 22nd of August.
Awesome. All right. And doors open at 12:45, as we said earlier in the episode. Wedged, $10. Unwedged, $5. Just come along, guys. You know, support. I was going to say support local businesses. That's not right. Support local theatre. That's what.
Yeah, and it all goes back into creating more of these shows and
exactly.
giving young directors an opportunity to put on shows and young playwrights to get
100%.
Their stuff put on.
Eli, do you think you'd ever explore into the playwriting world?
I actually was writing a play that at the same time that Alex was writing this, and that's what drew me to his piece because. Out of pure coincidence, I think, we both wrote plays about grief and magical realism and the supernatural.
Right. Okay. And what about you, Alex? Do you think you'll ever, go into directing?
Ooh. I mean, it's... Yeah, it's a nice thought. I've never... I don't know, really. I enjoy being an actor and I enjoy writing. I've done a little bit of musical directing in the past, but that's completely different. That's a... Yeah. Maybe one day.
Right, yeah. No, fair enough. Right? Yeah, keep your options open.
Yes.
No, I brought up the rehearsal room before, and I wanted to ask, this is for the both of you, was there anything while working on this play that you found was... a surprising development, like you learned something new throughout this process?
I guess for me, in the process of writing the characters for the play, what I had in mind originally, they turned into very different people by the time that I'd finished writing it. I guess
right.
that's something that was really surprising to me. And then again, seeing them being embodied by I don't know, just the actors and their interpretation of the characters changed them again. So, yeah,
right.
it's interesting seeing how the characters that I've written, so, you know, people that I've made in my own head have changed over time. And
yeah, coming off of that, bringing in the actors, I think the biggest thing that's been really interesting for me is there's a lot of, anger for a lot of these characters because it is dealing with regret and grief and stuff and finding how that manifests differently for different characters based on where that anger comes from has been so interesting. Watching my actors play around with a different interpretation of this slow rise of anger versus these outbursts and stuff
right.
has been very fascinating.
Have you, how is your... dynamic with the actors, because I understand that different directors have different styles of I guess directing. So if you don't mind, you know, sharing to the class, how do you direct your actors?
Well, it's been a learning process for me, absolutely. It's a lot easier when you're working with a very short comedy piece to mm-hmm. get away with being a little bit more lax as an act, as a director, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really, my actors have put me to work to really pull through for them. And I think the one thing that I always want to bring into my rehearsal spaces is trust.
Mm-hmm.
I want those actors to know that this show is going to be good, it's going to be fun, it's going to work out, and that they're all good actors and that I've chosen them for good reason. So even if something goes wrong, and if a reading, one of the major problems we've had is giggles in the rehearsal room.
Oh, yeah.
And if a scene breaks down because of giggling or something else goes wrong, we all have that trust that we're going to get it back on track and that everything is going to work out. And I think it's worked really well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so awesome. Because I think the last thing you'd want is to have, like, having not having the same communication on, like, or like idea of what you're getting out of like a rehearsal or a show, and not everyone's putting the same amount of commitment into it. So I guess when everyone's putting their all, it, you know, comes out into something great, I hope. How are you guys feeling? I know you guys are coming into Tech Week. You guys are packing in. We're recording on Friday as of now, so you guys are packing in today.
Yeah, so in a couple of hours I'm going to see the entire set for the first time, and I'm incredibly lucky because of the resources that the university provides that I also have designers behind me who have put all of this mahi into designing this space and bringing this cottage to life and all of this sort of stuff. So I think it's going to be quite surreal seeing it and kind of getting to let go a little bit and let my actors and the tech people do their thing.
Oh, that's going to be hard, huh?
Yeah.
Because I'll be definitely watching it. but what would you say is something that you guys are hoping, what are you guys hoping that the audience would get out of it? Like, because you said we're talking about grief. Like, is there like a lesson to this story that you want the audience to know?
Oh, that's a tricky one.
sorry, it came up at the top of my head.
No,
you can
tell, it's good.
By my smooth delivery.
I guess the lesson that one of the characters ends up going through was, you know, I guess just to make the most of the time that you have with the people that you love.
Awesome.
I think very much on that track, like, it doesn't matter what you believe in, you have to make the most of this life right now. Like, whether you believe there's an afterlife or nothing or reincarnation or anything, you have to make the most of this one right now.
Awesome. I agree with that. And I respect that a lot. Oh, my God. I'm actually so, so excited to watch it. Oh, my God. What are you excited for the audience to see? Like, what is something that you're really hoping would get a rise out of the audience, if you're allowed to say?
There is, I'm going to say this as vaguely as possible,
okay.
There is a very cool scene where my designers and tech team have worked in collaboration to hopefully create something very atmospheric that just sort of reminds you how cool theater can be, and that it's not just actors on a stage. It is a team of lighting people and sound people and set that all come together to make this happen.
Oh, okay, that is awesome. Okay, I'm so excited. Is this where the magical realism thing comes in?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. God, now you guys can't see me, but I'm like smiling ear to ear. I'm so, so excited. I can't say that enough. But I wanted to move away from Adeline's Cottage for a second. But how did you guys get into the arts or like theatre? And you, Alex, said you did music directing, was it?
Yeah, well, so I guess I started performing really early in my life. I actually started doing country music singing competitions and that
oh,
sort of
really?
Thing.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. And then through my music, I ended up going into musical theatre, and then from there just into theatre. And then I loved it. Decided that's what I wanted to come down here and study. And just the pathways through the performing arts school has, I don't know, given me way more opportunities than I was imagining.
So, awesome. That's great to hear. What about you, Eli?
I started as a dancer.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
How come I never knew that?
I want to say 6 years old, and I had two best friends who had started at the studio in Auckland that I'm from. I can't even remember what it was called, but they wanted to do musical theatre dance, and I went, I want to hang out with them. I'll do musical theatre dance. And then I continued that all the way through to high school. There was a brief moment where I thought I was going to go to uni for engineering, but changed my mind and decided to pursue theatre. And
do you regret it?
Not even slightly. I've loved every second. Mm. I knew that I wanted to go to Otago as soon as I heard about their BPA program and stuff. And yeah, I haven't regretted a moment of it.
Awesome. Was there like when you guys came over to Otago to study, was there ever like a paper that or like an experience that you didn't think you would ever like or would try that once you tried it, you're like, actually, this might work? Because I know you guys sort of you got funneled into this area that we are now.
For me, it was script writing. I mean, I didn't realize that. I mean, I hadn't tried writing anything beforehand. You know, I've always had creative ideas, but I've never really put pen to paper. And so taking the introductory script writing paper just sort of really opened up like a channel for me to express my creativity, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it leads you here to Adeline's College.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Like, who knew you would be your play would be on lunchtime theater? Like, I think, and like that, Eli, you would be directing it.
Yeah.
Like, I think when you did Shot Glass. Right.
Yep.
I can English, guys. What was I saying? Oh yeah, when you did Shot Glass Shorts, did you ever think that you would be, you know, here now doing directing for a lunchtime theatre?
Yeah, no. I mean, I came down to do acting. I was an actor. I wanted to do musical theatre. I wanted to do dance and singing and acting. But I knew I wanted to be on the stage. And I did Shot Glass Shorts as an actor in my first year. And I loved it. I had never done comedy like that, and I adored it. And then the next year came around and Sarah contacted me and was like, hey, we're still looking for directors. Would you be willing to try directing? And I was like, oh, but I really want to be an actor.
Yeah, no, fair.
And I was like, actually, you know what? Yeah, I'll give it a go. And then
that's the acting I like.
Yeah, that was the entryway. And I was like, oh, hang on. And I just knew I needed to find a script that I really connected with, because I connected with that Shot Glass Shorts one written by Elizabeth and loved it.
Awesome.
And then, yeah.
And so is that doing that introductory script writing paper, is that how you two met? Or
yeah, pretty much. We'd sort of met through paper.
Yeah, we did 152 together. We were overseers together. That requires
Wait, 152, which one is that?
On the Voyager project.
Oh, yeah. Right. The 100 little tech paper, right.
Yeah.
Also, I'd like to remind you guys were in the same 122 class.
122. Oh, yes. Yeah, but you weren't there for most of them.
Yeah, that was my first paper.
That was also my first paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, you guys listen have no idea. All three of us have been classmates before.
Yeah. For most of our uni career.
Yeah. I think that's so cool about doing theater, actually, is that you actually get to know your classmates.
Yeah.
And you work with them very intimately. And whereas, like, because I've done English papers before, I sit next to the same person, maybe.
Yeah.
And then never see them again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, maybe you meet five people in your first class. Like, in 122, we were aware of each other, mm-hmm. but we weren't super close at the time. And I was aware of you as well, but I was like, that's the guy in my tutorial.
that's the guy.
And then, in Theatre Tech, we sort of started to get closer because we worked on the final project together. But then by script writing, we were working in the same tutorial group and working with similar content. And I think that's when it really clicked.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Oh, I love when friendships prevail. Okay, well, we're actually starting to run out of time. So I'm going to ask, do you guys have any like final thoughts on Adeline's Cottage that you want to share with the audience or, you know, anything along those lines?
Yeah, I think just make sure you are coming to Lunchtime Theatre. It is such an immense project for all of these directors, not just myself, to put on a show and there to be a show that is brand new, completely staged, not just a table read or anything, a completely staged show every single week. And now you know, I always had this respect for it, but as a director, I have this newfound respect for how much work goes into it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it's awesome. It's cool. It's fun. It's sad. It has a bit of everything.
Awesome.
I'm just really excited to have an audience for something that I've created. Yeah, come along, watch.
Yeah, that must be really exciting.
Yeah. Yeah,
and again, if you guys like to reiterate the dates for the show.
Yeah, so the 21st and 22nd of August at Allen Hall Theatre, which is on the Otago campus at 1 p.m.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, guys, for coming onto the show. Would you like to give any shout-outs to any particular people or your social media brand or anything like that? Because you guys are the up-and-coming. You guys are the future. So, like, if you want to just grab, like, an early, like, you know, early fans.
I do want to shout out, I mean, this wouldn't have happened without Amanda Faye Martin,
no.
Who facilitated the script writing course. That she's awesome. And also Martin Roberts.
Yeah.
He was a huge help getting this underway and for just believing in me.
Amazing.
And follow the Allen Hall Theatre page for future projects.
It's funny, I was actually going to do a shout out for the exact same two people. So it's,
What about who are the actors in your show?
Oh, yes. I have the lovely Caitlin Proctor. I have Robert Shand and I have Daniel Cromer.
Okay, awesome. I know most of those people, so I'm very excited to see my friends on stage. It's always so nice.
Yeah.
But like what these guys were saying, it's so nice to support the youth.
I'm 27.
Sorry, guys. I'm kidding. Sorry. No, but seriously,
zip up my jumper.
We had a conversation about this a while ago, actually, about your jumper and your age. Yes.
I don't remember.
Oh, well. Okay, I guess it's just special for me. It's all right. Just say you don't want to be my friend. Okay, guys, this is it. I'm done. I quit. Okay, but no, in all seriousness, I'm looking forward to watching not only your guys' show, I'm looking forward to seeing Pas de Toi, other shows throughout the semester, and like even when I'm done studying. Like, you guys, if you guys, whether you're high school students, if you're a parent, or if you're younger than that, it should... What's younger than high school students?
I don't know if it's...
primary school students? No, I don't know. Young people, okay? Listen to me. This is good. Support your local Dunedin community, all right? That's what it's all about, all right? Anyway, thank you so much for coming on to the show, and I really appreciate you guys coming. Yeah, sorry. My brain's like dead. But as always, guys, stay safe out there and keep an eye on the news, making sure you're aware of what's going on out there. Please boycott Coke, Starbucks, McDonald's and Disney Plus and Free Palestine. Thank you so much. Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.